Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for July 12th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
I am Sean Allen.
I'm Rhett Davis.
Great. So let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda for this week. In the Pony C repo, we have a list of pull requests. The first one in the list is 4157. This is my work in progress pull request that is not finished. I can kind of give a status update on this. It is currently failing on, it has some failing tests in CI on ARM 64 and Windows x86 64. So I have to go through the process of troubleshooting those still. And aside from that, I also need to go through the process of working on the last kind of piece of this is one of the more complicated pieces, which is when we're tracking arguments into an FFI function, we actually need to be keeping track of when there are too many arguments that they don't all fit in registers. And in that case, where you get to you get through a bunch of arguments and then you get to one that is a tuple, the tuple should be treated differently than if it were to occur at the beginning of that list of arguments, which is a fun thing that LLVM doesn't handle for us. So this is something that I still need to work on, aside from just getting test passing on all platforms with the current code that I have. Any questions, comments for anyone about this PR in progress? Okay. That in mind, let's move on to next one on the list, 4151, update back pressure implementation with runtime configurable threshold. This was opened 21 days ago. Sean, you were going over this with Dippin. Any notes about this?
My big note would be is that I haven't had time to review it yet.
Okay, there we go. So,
and the Windows CI is failing with something I haven't seen before. So I pinged Gordon to see if he's seen it. It's odd. It's back pressure adjacent, but I don't think it's necessarily related. It could be something about a change in the underlying Windows CI environment. I'm really not sure what's going on with that. I don't know if it's related or if this will come up with other Windows PRs. One of my plans would be is just to open a PR that does almost nothing and see if it can trigger the same thing.
Okay, sounds good.
It's basically a test where we write a whole bunch of data into a pipe with a process monitor, and then we read it out the other side, right?
Yeah.
And after like the first couple times of reading out data, right, it is reading it 8 bytes at a time. So it now it could be that it's only receiving it 8 bytes at a time, or it could be that it's really slow to read it for some reason. I mean, who knows at this point? And this could be an environmental thing. I suppose it could be related to Dippin's change, but it would certainly be a weird way for it to show up. So
yeah,
really unsure.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's go ahead and move on to pull request 4144, enhance runtime stats tracking, also from Dippin. Was in need of a rebase. Now it's been rebased. Last comment is Dippin asking Sean for a review.
So I need to review this.
Yeah, it looks.
I missed that he had asked for a review. I assume that was last night amongst all the other things.
Yes, it was within the last 24 hours.
It was 2 days ago, so I had just missed it. It was something else he left on another one from 2 days ago that I somehow missed, so I hadn't seen that.
this adds a lot to the surface of the runtime info package.
Yes.
Or wow. are they all private? I'm a little bit confused. I'm confused about. Yeah. So scheduler stats is a new primitive that's public, but there's actor stats is a new one that is public, and scheduler stats private is so this is a private struct.
Yep.
That is being used. Is it being returned by the primitive?
Nope. It if you go and look in the primitive extracts the given value for the particular thing from the struct.
Okay. Okay. So the private implementation matches up to the C implementation, and then the primitive extracts from that struct. Okay, got it.
I don't know if this is the ideal API, but I think that, you know, it is a good starting place API. I don't have any complaints with it, and we could adjust it as people actually really use it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any major design decisions here that would need to run through an RFC process. I mean, this is just a pretty, like, yeah. If we were to decide we didn't like these names of things, then it's very easy to create a new alias and deprecate the old one. So it's not too critical to get those names right.
Yeah.
Implementation is not too, you know, complicated. It's just exposing a bunch of numeric values. And is runtime stats is this a, yeah, so it still has to be set at compile time of the runtime.
Yep. Otherwise they all return zero.
Yeah. What is, I'm looking to see now how there's the runtime stats. If def option you can use from within Pony C, or sorry, from within Pony code. I'm trying to see where that hooks into this runtime compilation.
Well, you have the.
Okay, so it looks to find a method within. Interesting. So if slightly weird thing about this, this is kind of what I was wanting to dig into. A slightly weird thing about this is that it makes the assumption that the Pony runtime, like shared library that, or, you know, bitcode or whatever that you're compiling against was compiled with the same option as the Pony C compiler that is linking to it.
What do you mean?
In order to basically, it assumes that if you both libponyc and libponyrt have the ifdef use runtime stats.
Uh-huh. Yep.
When you compile a Pony program that was written, when you compile a Pony program that uses these stats with a version of Pony C that was compiled with runtime stats enabled, then it assumes that the runtime that you're linking against also was compiled with runtime stats enabled, and vice versa.
Is that not a reasonable assumption for how everything works to make it? I think it is for how everything works.
It's a little bit weird.
How so? I mean, you have a PonyC binary and it has specific runtimes that are associated with it, and so they're compiled with the same options.
Why must they be compiled with the same options?
I mean, that's how everything works right now. It's a PonyC compiler, and when you compile the compiler, there is a runtime, et cetera, that comes along with it. And it knows how to locate that runtime to use in relation to its own, where it itself lives. And that's the runtime that it will use to link in. And so, I mean, you could technically stick a different one in, but at that point, who knows what's going to blow up? I mean, everything across the board assumes in the compiler that it's going to get the runtime which matches up with the compiler.
I mean, there probably aren't very many things that actually make that assumption, but just to be a little more concrete, this specific example, like this specific feature, right? I would suggest that the most useful version of this feature would be, and I'm not saying that this has to be what Dipin implements on, you know, day one with this pull request, but maybe it is a reasonable direction to be pointing it toward. If we can agree on that, which is, I submit that the most useful version of this feature would be the PonyC compiler comes with two versions of the runtime, one that has runtime stats compiled into it, and the other that doesn't. And you can, when compiling, select whether you want the runtime stats to be enabled, or if you want to think of it another way, select which runtime you are linking against for your program. So you can not have to switch to a different compiler just to enable runtime stats for your program. Okay.
So I think that's a different statement than what you'd said before. I think that's a good thing to leave a comment on.
Okay.
Comment for. Yes. But I think that is a different statement than the one you made earlier.
It is different, but like in my original comment or line of commenting, I was not implying, I was trying not to imply that this had to be built that way with that capability, because that what I just described implies a lot of other changes to how we, you know, build and distribute the compiler and the runtime, which is not necessarily what we're going to do right now. But my goal for reviewing this PR and suggesting direction for it would be to just have it pointed in a direction where it is compatible with that, rather than making assumptions that are not compatible. That's why I think it's an incompatible assumption to say that the runtime was compiled with the same flags as the compiler.
I'm not sure what change we would do to not make that assumption.
Make it a flag that you use when, like, so what you could do right now is make it a flag that you use when compiling a Pony program. So it would be similar to the runtime BC flag that we already have, which lets you select a different runtime.
But then I'm selecting a runtime which doesn't necessarily have this enabled. So
at which point you would get a linker error.
I'm not particularly fond of that. I think we need I agree with your statement of where we'd like to end up. I think for this that I would be okay. I'm okay with this being merged as it is and having a larger conversation about how do we end up at that place. Because saying, oh, here's a flag to turn on a thing, but you can point it at any Pony runtime, which may or may not have those features, and then it might end up being a linker error. That doesn't sound like an ideal thing to me. and I would rather work towards something else that still gets us to the same place that you mentioned in the beginning.
Okay. How about, so what I would like to do is try to envision what that place that I mentioned looks like in its ideal state, and then figure out what kind of, you know, reasonable small chunk of work, or you know, what kind of shape for this integration actually gets us, you know, in that direction. And if it's not what I just described, then another alternative would be that, similar to the runtime BC feature, it's actually a file that's named differently. So if we had libponyrt-withstats,
and
that was,
and yes, this is, we had discussed this previously, and I think it's good until you have an explosion of different options, right? At which point you need something else. But I think that's a good start.
Okay. So then the short-term version of this would be that if we're compiling with runtime stats enabled, the runtime, then we should be generating a runtime shared library with a different name. And then specifying the flag of with stats or whatever we call it on the Pony compiler invocation, it changes to be looking for this file with a different name. If it can't find that file with the runtime stats name included, then it says, hey, you don't have this version of the runtime with runtime stats. You need to compile it in.
So I think that that is a good chunk of work on its own. I personally would like to see this merged and we create a new issue to address the other.
Okay.
Because there's a lot there of making sure that it goes out nightlies and testing nightlies, et cetera, and everything to go along with it, right? Where I think that that is what you've just described is something that I think would end up crossing multiple PRs to make sure it's actually working.
Okay. All right. I will leave a comment to that effect on, here in the pull request. Go ahead.
And I guess otherwise if we do go down that route, either you or I or both of us need to review this for what it is there. And then if it passes, we can merge it. We just make sure we have the issue for a follow-on thing for changes. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to be typing up this comment. While I'm doing so, Sean, would you like to go to the next item on the list and talk about 3882?
Yes, so this is, for some reason, when we try to do debug tests on ARM 64-bit using Muscle as the library rather than glibc, the runner application crashes immediately. So we can't add the test. Borja looked into this over the weekend. There's a segmentation fault on it. Next weekend, he hopes to be able to look at it in a debugger and start trying to figure out what's wrong, as we do apparently have some sort of issue. And it would be good to get that fixed. And then we could add the CI for it. And that is that one. And I took the discuss during sync off of it.
All right, I am still typing. Would you like to move on to the next one?
So the next one is a draft. It was the draft PR. Remember, it was using the dot star stuff for a lot of the Cirrus CI configuration. Joe, do you remember that one from a while ago?
I do remember it, yes.
So this is it that got tagged because after our whole cache buster conversation, right? That cache buster conversation goes away and the brittleness of it goes away. If we're using, if we switch to any of the things which have the, here we're busting the cache based on the image, right? Which would be all the Linux ones. So that was my dropping a comment that said, I'm going to come back to this and work on switching the Linux stuff over to being in defined in .star stuff so that we can have it be not brittle. And but we don't need to touch any of the non-Linux stuff because we're not getting anything really out of it at this point. We get something out of it with removing brittleness around cache busting for Linux because we have to put a value in a couple different places and it has to match up. And if it doesn't, it goes kaboom, and star, the dot star stuff will let us define a data structure which defines what we want, and then it will auto generate the configuration to do that, and will be appended to our configuration that's in the YAML. So thereby removing that need to get them correct
and match up. I'm personally not super sold on dot star, but like you are the one who has to deal with most of this, so I trust your intuition, expertise, etc. Get it right.
Basically, I have far more confidence in somebody being able to learn what's going on with the Dart star, right? Which looks an awful lot like Python, and correctly making changes to it than I do for somebody making changes to the YAML when it comes to the Linux jobs and cache busting.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I personally, I'm not there, but the fact that you are and that you're the one who mostly deals with this stuff is good enough for me. So let's see, were there any like action items there to discuss beyond what you already said?
Nope.
Okay. Support for RISC-V. This is 3435.
This appears to actually be a working thing, except we don't have any CI for it. So
yeah. It'll probably throw a wrench in the gears of my FFI tuple PR as well. But if we don't have CI, then I don't have a way to know that.
Well, except so my question here would be, is it looks like he was able to install he should be able to set up CI for this. We should be able to have CI for it as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to drop a note to that effect, because then we can, and change log added. Boom. So there is some additional stuff to do there. And I think the most important thing right now is let's get the CI in, right? And then we can go from there. I mean, this looks like there was very little that needed to be done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, once we get CI going, just to check and see if there's any edge cases or weirdness. But yeah, similar to the WebAssembly PR I did, there was actually not very much to do aside from stubbing out some of the POSIX stuff. So yeah, the beauty of LLVM. We are the eternal beneficiaries of the great LLVM project. Thank you.
It's the gift that gives so much, and every now and then what it gives is pain.
Yeah.
but mostly it gives joy.
Yeah. It moves fast, which is good in many ways, and sometimes it's painful, but yes. All right. Let's take a look at what we have next. We have 3278, trigger GC for actors when they tell the cycle detector they're blocked.
This is
an old PR from Dippin.
This is good. except for there, he's looking into the fact that there's a seg fault on FreeBSD, and we want to make sure that this is not related to the chain. Because I've never seen the seg fault before.
Okay.
From the promise flatten next regression. But otherwise, this is a reasonable one for the changes that happen to the cycle detector and when how block messages get sent years ago. At one point in time, it was any time that an actor got to the end of its queue, right? It would send a block message, and we wouldn't want a GC then. But years ago, that was changed, where it's when the cycle detector thinks that an actor is in a cycle, it will send a message to the actor asking the actor if it's blocked. And then the actor can then respond if it's blocked. And that would be, it's when it's responding that it would GC, right?
Yes.
Which is a thing that shouldn't happen all that often. But if the cycle detector thinks it might be blocked, right? And it isn't in fact like blocked or in a cycle, but it's probably then been hanging around for a long time. So DCing is not the worst thing in the world to do then.
Cool. Let's see. Go ahead.
Did you create a new issue or did you leave something on 4144?
I left a comment on 4144.
I am not seeing the comment.
Let's take a look.
Oh, there it is now. Okay. Okay.
Okay, cool. In the release note spot action repo, we have an issue ticket 34 Python linting fails. This is just a note.
Well, it's an issue. We want somebody to come along and update the Python. Yes,
we can
pull the discuss at sync off of that. And the changelog one, the changelog tool one that was on there, I went ahead and I merged that, and then I did a release as well to pick that up. So.
All right, very good. I think that takes us through our agenda for today. Does anybody have any other topics they'd like to raise for discussion?
I'm going to take the discuss the release issue one and take the discuss during sync off of that. This would be a release plan for early August, as normally I do the releases at the end of every month, and I'm going to be away at the end of this month. So this would be happening in early August.
Sounds good. Any other topics we want to discuss? Red, do you have anything to bring up this week?
I do not, no, but thank you.
Okay, well, in that case, shall we adjourn?
Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for listening along or for attending in person. We'll see you next week. Bye.